In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. And we hope that today you won't think Mass is like this every Sunday. This is a little different, you know, but we're decorating the church with you. And we're very happy that you are here to do this, the greening of the church. We usually do this on the third Sunday in Advent, but we had a big loss here in our church. The death of Brendan Deshays, and so the leadership of the church decided to do it a week later. And we're still praying for Father Bob and for Deborah and for the whole family. There was a woman who woke up every morning and told her husband, "Honey, I had a dream that you bought me beautiful pearls." And the husband would look at her and say, "Oh, don't worry, just a few more days for Christmas. You'll find out the meaning of that dream." The next morning, woke up again. "Honey, I had that dream again. They were fine pearls, beautiful pearls. And I had this dream." "Oh, honey, don't worry, just a few hours away, no problem." And the third day, Christmas Eve, wakes up again and says, "Honey, I had that dream again. You bought me those beautiful pearls." "Oh, honey, don't worry. You're going to find out the meaning of that tonight." And so, of course, it was time for the gifts exchange. And they're all getting their gifts, you know. And the lady gets a package. Looks just like a box, you know, where you would put pearls, right? And she's just so excited, you know. It's kind of a heavy box. She's, "Wow, the fine pearls, you know." And she's opening it very carefully. And when she begins to open it, it was a book. And the book was entitled, "The Meaning of Dreams." So for the pearls, right? Joseph had a dream. And the dream Joseph had changed everything. It changed everything because he was about to give up. You pay attention to that gospel? He was about to give up. He was about to call it quits. He didn't want Mary to be embarrassed. He didn't want to create a public scandal. But he was about to give up. And it's because of that dream that we are here to celebrate, in the year 2016, the birth of Jesus the Savior. Because God spoke to Joseph, and Joseph continued with God's plan. Now, I want you to think about it. Joseph was not that different from the rest of us, was he? Joseph was a righteous man, and certainly a very special man, but he was just like the rest of us. Tradition says he was a carpenter, and he taught Jesus that trade. He was a humble, simple man, a faithful Jew, trying to fulfill God's will in his life. But I'm sure it was not anywhere in his plans to marry the mother of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it was nowhere in his plans for Mary to be with child before they were married. So he was shocked. I'm sure he was startled, to say the least. Surprised, disappointed, worried. I'm sure there was great suffering in his heart. He must have felt torn. But there's something Joseph had that every person in this church also has. There's something Joseph had that each and every one of us also have and that we also share. And it's faith. Joseph had faith in God. Joseph was able to listen to God. Joseph had an attentive faith. Not only was Joseph that humble, simple carpenter called by God for something special, and not only did Joseph have this dream, Joseph woke up from the dream. Listen to me carefully. He woke up from the dream and went and did as God had asked him to do. He listened, he understood it was from God, and he got up and completely changed his plans because he decided it was time to carry out God's plan. You know, in our own lives, I'm sure as we look back, we all had plans. The way we thought things were going to turn out. And usually, for most of us, at some point there was a detour. Things did not go as we planned. You go here on Broward Boulevard and you're going east and you say, I'm going to get to Las Olas in 15 minutes. And then there's a big sign that says, construction on the road. Right? And there's a big sign that says, detour. And then they want you to go this way and that way and that way. By the time you get out there, it took you half an hour. It wasn't in your plans. You thought, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Well, spiritually, that happens too. We find ourselves experiencing detours. And that's happened. This is what happened to Joseph. That's what happened. He heard in this dream that God wanted him to do something that was beyond heroic. But he got up from the dream. He got up, he woke up. And he woke up and he listened to God. And see, our mission as people of faith is not just to hear God. That part would be easy because God speaks. The difficult part is to get up and take that detour and go in the direction God is signaling you. No matter what anybody thinks, no matter whether it's popular or not, whether it's approved by people or not, it's God's plan for you. Wow. The good news about that is that when you follow God's plan, there's great peace. When you follow God's plan, there's great peace. There's no more tossing and turning at night. There's no worrying about what will they say, what will they think. See, that's what bothered Joseph. What are they going to think about us? Oh, wow. What are they going to think about Mary? What kind of woman is this? And what's going on with me? There must be something wrong with me if I'm going to marry her. But see, faith changes the way we see things. It changes our perspectives. When we see things with faith, we see others differently. We see ourselves differently. We understand that God is present in every human person. And then we understand that somehow in God's wonderful plan, God brings people together for a reason. And he puts us where we need to be, even when we were not inclined to go there. God puts us where we need to be. Isn't God great? And to be able to know that there's so little in our lives that we control. Those of you that are control freaks, be careful. You want to control everything and everyone. It's like those mothers. I always talk about those mothers. I love those mothers. Those mothers with adult children. They say to me, Father, I'm having great trouble with my son. I say, ma'am, how old is your son? 55. That's right around the time that I say, okay, get off the cross, we need the wood. You know what I'm saying? You're suffering for no reason at all. I say that because we do try to control so many things and we're not in control. Poor Joseph, all he did was go to sleep. Imagine. In a dream, he heard God say to him, No, it's not what you think. It's God's plan. It's what I want. This is not what you want. It's not about you, Joseph. Get out of the way. It's about God's plan for the world. See, this Mary, this Virgin Mary, she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it's almost like God telling him, guess what, Joseph? I didn't need you. That's bad for a male ego, right? Oh, the male ego is weak. Come on, guys, you know it. Male ego always needs to be stroked, you know. Oh, he's so good. He's so wonderful. But the truth is, God told Joseph, it's not about you, and I can do this without you. Imagine that. I can do this without you. And I say this to the men and the women in our congregation. God can do great things even without us. All we need to do is respond in faith. See, it wasn't just receiving the message. It was getting up that next morning and acting upon it. So faith requires a response. Faith requires that we get up and go. Faith requires that we're able to really listen to the voice of God and say, I'm going to follow that path. Even if it doesn't make sense to me, even if it's not what I would be naturally inclined to do, I'm going to follow this path because I believe God is calling me in this direction. So we must have discernment. We must be willing to really listen to the voice of God and follow what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do. We must be wise in doing that. We need to ask people, wise people around us, for advice. We need to be able to read God's word, open it up, and what is God telling me? Take the dust off the Bible that you've got neatly there, almost like a decoration in your house somewhere to say that you're a believer. Do you know that the Bible is the best seller, the world's best seller, best-selling book, but the least read? Isn't that weird? Everyone has a Bible. It's a bestseller, but very few people read it. That's a problem. So, how do we listen to this voice of God actively, the way Joseph did? We've got to listen and be attentive with the ears of faith, with our hearts. We've got to be able to listen to where God is leading us. And the good thing is, you don't have to be afraid of taking that detour, because ultimately God is with you on the ride. God is with you. God's not watching you from a distance. You know, they got this little thing called Uber now. You've seen it, right? Lyft, Uber, all that. I like Lyft. It's a little cheaper, by the way. Hope I gave you all a hint. Sometimes my son's stuck somewhere. You know, he's 22 years old, but he doesn't have a car. And my wife will tell me, oh, Alva, can we send a, you know, Lyft or Uber to go pick up Chris from such and such a place? He's at college. He's going there. He has to go to work. He's going to be... And it's much easier sometimes than actually, you know, going and pick him up. So, you know, on your phone, you put it in the address and all that, and then you see the little car moving, you know. Oh, they picked them up, which is good. You know, you want to keep track of your kids, right? So they picked them up at this time, they dropped them up at that time. It's all there. Sometimes we think God is like that, that he's looking at us from the top and he, oh, look where they're going. No, God's not. God's with us on the ride. God never leaves us alone. God's with us. That's part of the mystery of life. God's with us. So you don't have to worry about that detour because God is with us. That's why those names come up in the Bible today. Did you notice those names? And they will call him Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us. That's right. So there's all these names for this Jesus who came to be with us. And those names mean something. I want to share some of them with you this morning. In the prophet Isaiah, it says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You notice none of those titles was actually Jesus' name, right? You know, it wasn't Albert Coutier, you know, John Smith, you know, Mary Johnson. No. The way the Bible uses this, his name shall be, or they shall be called, or he shall be called, it's because it's trying to say what the Messiah and what the people of Israel were longing for the Messiah to be. This is what they needed, that wonderful counselor, that mighty God, that everlasting Father that would liberate them, that Prince of Peace. And Luke says, he shall be called Son of the Most High and Son of God. And in Jeremiah it says, he shall be Yahweh. You know that from Genesis, right from the burning bush. I am who am. Yahweh, the righteous, the God of righteousness. And he shall be called Emmanuel, we hear in today's gospel. A name that means God is with us. Now we call the Lord Jesus. We call him Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. A name that means the Anointed One, the Savior, the Messiah. But you know, all these words are meant to tell us one thing, that God is never far away, that God is with us, that God sent his Son into our human condition, into our nature. He was born like us, of a woman, in a mother's womb. I mean, if I were God, think about it, if I were God and I was making this plan to save the world, you know, I had all this power, I wouldn't go through all that hardship. 9 months of that and all that, I send a spaceship, you know, or a drone. Now they have drones. Why don't you sell a drone to save the world? Right? No, no, he went through everything we went through. Of all the world religions, think about it. We're the only ones, Christians are the only ones that have a God that became one like us. Took on our human nature. And because he took on our human nature and he came to us, that God who came to us, who was incarnate, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, that's the God that came to save us. Wow. Wow. It wasn't a God somewhere up there. Many of us grew up thinking in a God that was behind a glass cage somewhere. You know, God is up there and I'm down here. And when I pray, I just look up there and pray up there. If you're up there somewhere, you're going to listen to me. Guess what? I got news for you. God became one like us. Many of you know that I was a DJ in the 80s, right? And I couldn't stand this song that came out. I was already in the seminary when it came out, but it was a song by one of these pop artists. What if God was one of us? Just a bum like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to find his way home. Every time I heard that song, I had to switch the station. Because I said, I don't know if you know, young woman singing the song, but you don't know your theology. God did become one of us. God did take on our human condition. God was born like one of us, and he was born in a stable, and he was born of a woman, and he was born like us. And he had a human face just like us, and he was totally human, by the way, and totally divine. That's the mystery of the incarnation. That's why they shall call him Emmanuel means so much, because it means God is with us. And Jesus didn't just visit us for a few years and walk this earth and then go back home to the right hand of the Father, like we say in the Creed. By the way, he promised us his Spirit. And he promised us he would be with us always, right? So every time you're tempted to think that somehow God is far away, remember the Emmanuel. God is with us. Dreams are great. Listening to God in all the ways he speaks to us, through loved ones, through prayer, through the reading of the Bible or other holy writings. Listening to God in a song, in a hymn. Listening to God in the voice and laughter of children, in the sounds and beauty of nature. Listening to God is great. But it's not until we wake up from the dream and put our faith into action that we're really saying that God is incarnate. See, our faith requires that we put it into action. That's why we must be attentive in our listening to God. How is God speaking to you? What is God asking of you? You with your gifts, your talents, your unique personality. What is God asking you to do? Because guess what? You're just like Joseph. You've been gifted with faith. Let's put that faith into action. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.